presentation. This is a presentation on tracking and reporting program results with EPA's new Local Climate Action Framework. We'll hear about this exciting tool from Emma Zinsmeister, who's also with the Local Climate and Energy Program. As the lead local climate strategy analyst for the program, she specializes in the design and implementation of climate change mitigation and adaptation strategies for communities across the United States. She also has primary responsibility for the strategic planning and development of the Climate Showcase Communities program that I just mentioned, and she recently received her Master of Public Health degree. Take it away, Emma.
Thank you, Victoria. Next slide, please. So today I'm going to be sharing with you a new portion of a new resource that's been in development by the State and Local Climate and Energy Program. As Victoria mentioned, we're redesigning our website, and we're taking the many years of experience working with local governments and tribes on climate change issues and turning that into more tangible step-by-step guidance. And so all of the analytical tools that we've developed, the peer exchange opportunities, case studies, technical information, and links to a wealth of other resources will now be organized in a step-by-step process that we've designed to walk you through designing, implementing, and evaluating programs that either mitigate climate change and reduce greenhouse gas emissions or help to build resiliency within your communities. And the framework that we've developed is intended to be a universal planning resource that you can use if you're working on any type of program under that umbrella. So if you're working on transportation issues, energy efficiency, clean energy, we hope this resource will be useful for you. Next slide, please. And I have to say I'm not terribly surprised to see that on our first poll question, there's really clearly a need for information on monitoring and evaluation, so basically tracking the results of your programs as you implement them and then assessing their effectiveness. And so we've chosen to start sharing our local climate action framework, this new web resource that we're developing, by talking about tracking and reporting. And so you can see here that this is one of six phases in the process of designing and implementing climate and action programs. And so as we release our new resources online in 2015, you'll see we'll have separate sections on developing greenhouse gas inventories, setting goals and selecting the programs that you're going to implement, finding resources, financial and technical, to help you support those programs, actually getting down to taking action and implementing your programs, and then, of course, engaging your stakeholders and communicating. Tracking and reporting is an essential element of this process, and the section of our framework that focuses on this step will help you track and analyze various performance indicators so that you can assess and share your program's process as you get it underway. Next slide, please. So thus far, we've used the terminology both monitoring and evaluation and tracking and reporting. These things are pretty much the same. Essentially, tracking is the continual process of collecting data and taking measurements that will help you assess how your program is being implemented, identifying ways that you can improve your implementation, and making informed choices about what you will invest in the future. And then once you have tracked that data, reporting is essentially the evaluation and communication of your results, which of course is important to keep your stakeholders engaged, to let them know about your progress, to remain accountable to your communities, and of course to demonstrate the value of investing in the work that you're doing. Next slide, please. So, of course, the question remains, why are we talking about tracking results first when we're just getting started in the process of thinking about these programs? Well, all too often we see programs that get off the ground are doing good things but don't think about monitoring their success until the end, and at that point you may not actually have the data that you need to make the assessments, and you also don't have time to make course corrections if there are things that really you could have improved along the way. So we thought we would start off sharing our local climate and action framework by talking about tracking and reporting so that this is something that you think of as you start the design process for your programs. Early planning enables you to get a more comprehensive understanding of the intended impact of your programs and ensures that you'll have the systems in place to collect the data you need and give you the opportunity to plan in your budget and schedule for supporting the data collection and evaluation processes. Next slide, please. So under tracking and reporting, once we launch our new website and you go to the Local Climate Action Framework and you click on the tracking and reporting section, you'll see this series of steps that comes up. And in my presentation today, I'll be walking you briefly through each of these steps to give you a sense of the content involved. And essentially, it walks you through a continual process of measuring, learning, and improving for your program. So identifying indicators that you'll measure and track along the way, determining timeframes over which you'll evaluate them, creating a plan for tracking and evaluating, and then going through the actual data collection, evaluation, and reporting processes. Next slide, please. As you'll see, when you kick off the process of tracking and reporting, the first thing you need to identify are your potential indicators. And these are going to be the quantifiable or measurable characteristics of your project that you can actually track over time. And in most cases, you start to think about programs that you're implementing, things such as a logic model will be helpful for you. As you see here, I have an example from EPA's logic model course. And this is essentially just a conceptual depiction of what you invest in a program, the actual activities and people that you engage that leads to your ultimate outcomes. Generally speaking, you can develop a logic model for any program based on what you think your theory of change is. If your ultimate goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from transportation in your community, maybe your plan is that if you invest in outreach to community members about alternative forms of transportation, you can achieve those greenhouse gas emissions reductions. And so maybe that's your theory of change. You can break it down into the inputs, the staff, the money, the time that you'll put into the program, the media events, the outreach events that you'll conduct, the target audiences you hope to engage, and then short, medium, and long-term outcomes that will show the impact of your program. And in each of these boxes here on the screen, these are all things that you can measure in various ways. Indicators can both be quantitative or qualitative, things that are ranked such as high, medium, or low. Next slide, please. So in the process of identifying performance indicators, essentially the goal is to develop a sufficient list of indicators that will assess all the important aspects of your program without being unrealistically long or burdensome for tracking purposes. So we recommend start by casting a wide net, thinking creatively about your programs, what things can you measure, and then evaluating your potential indicators to ensure that they're relevant, that they're actually things that if you see changes in them, you can attribute those changes back to your program, that they're measurable, that you can in some way assess change over time, and that they're accessible. Is the data that you need going to be available? Does it exist yet? Is it something that you can get to? There aren't privacy concerns or other things that might impede you from getting to that data. And once you've selected your list of indicators, you should be able to essentially have a set of measures that will help you tell the story that you've put together through your logic model and your theory of change about what your program is doing. What is your intended impact and how you intend to evaluate it? Next slide, please. This is just an example of an indicator selection process. Again, if we're talking about, say, public transportation issues, you may consider looking at public awareness of transportation options. And, of course, that will be relevant because one of the goals of your program is to increase information, awareness, and accessibility of transportation options. It's something that you can definitely measure. You can survey people before and after the implementation of your program to see if they are aware of the options available to them. And that data can be accessible if you have the ability to survey your target audience. So again, this is just one example, and there are others listed on the screen here, of ways of metrics you could use for a program like this in the process of looking at whether or not they're relevant, measurable, and accessible. Next slide, please. Once you have your set of indicators selected, you need to determine what time period you want to measure them over that align with the implementation and the goals of your program. So you'll want to think about if there's a specific baseline year as a starting point that makes sense for your program. Generally, it can be the year a program starts, or if there are other significant events that occur that make a particular date relevant for your program. You need to make sure that there's going to be data available, and then is it a typical year? If you're looking for ridership of your metro system, you may not want to choose a baseline year where you had a terrible storm and had several lines washed out. That would artificially drop your ridership rates, and changes over time would look inflated. So you need to consider the actual conditions and make sure you're not choosing an anomalous time frame. And once you have your baseline, the next step is to establish targets, your objectives, for each of your indicators. And the targets are essentially going to be the quantitative companions of your indicators. They describe the desired level of change from the baseline that will represent meaningful change and success at implementing your program. So targets can be interim, checkpoints along the way, and ultimately your long-term targets reflect your ultimate long-term program goal. And ideal targets represent meaningful change, should be realistic and achievable, and are bound to a specific time frame. And the easiest way to establish targets is to look at your historical performance. If your ridership only increases 3% a year, you may not want to establish a target of a 50% increase in 5 years. You need to think about what will make sense for your program and what is relevant to your community's current state. And then often cases, policies and regulations will have targets established in them. Communities and states that may have greenhouse gas reduction goals may have targets already established that are things that you could align with in your program as well. Next slide, please. This is just a quick example here from the City of Seattle's Climate Action Plan, some of the targets that they've used in their transportation programs. You can see here, for example, in looking at passenger vehicles, they're looking for a 20% reduction by 2030 in vehicle miles traveled. They're looking to reduce greenhouse gas emissions intensity of travel 75% by 2030 and so on. And some here have clear quantitative targets, and others are just looking at trends, which is also one way to assess indicators where you may not necessarily have a good sense of what a quantitative benchmark might be, but you know that you want to assess trends in a certain direction. So certainly check out the City of Seattle's plan and others for examples of possible targets. Next slide, please. And once you have your targets planned and decided upon, really the meat of the process is getting your plan in place for how you're going to go about tracking and evaluating your program. So essentially, you want to design a program that will provide a consistent, efficient, and reliable process for collecting your data to ensure the integrity and accuracy of that information. So things to include specifying in your, or to consider specifying in your plan are allocating responsibilities, who's going to be responsible for tracking what indicators, who's going to be the person that manages that data and ultimately submits reports and does evaluations, what protocols, templates, sources, or units are you going to be using as you go about tracking your indicators. Where are you going to store your information? What types of programs or databases are you using? When? What is the schedule for doing your tracking and evaluation? And how will you ensure the integrity and security of your data, particularly if you have personally identifiable information or things that should be protected? And ultimately, you want to make sure as part of your plan that you have sufficient resources for each step in your plan so that you have the staffing and the budget available. And you know, there may be processes in place where individual components of your program are already tracking information. You may be able to incorporate those processes or templates that they may already have into your program. And ultimately, once the plan is in place, that's when you can start collecting your data, working from your baseline year on to years where you've established interim targets and collecting data along the way. Next slide, please. And once you've started collecting data and have a schedule for doing evaluations and thinking about assessing your program, you'll undergo the process of evaluation, which is really analyzing the changes in your indicators to determine which elements of your program are effective and which have room for improvement. Process evaluations look at things like the outputs of your programs. If you think back to the logic model, see, you know, are you providing the services to your target audience as you hoped? And your impact evaluation, which is whether or not you're reaching your short, medium, and long-term objectives. So in the process of setting up an evaluation, there are many different ways to go about it, but ultimately you're looking at big picture questions that will tell you whether or not your program is being effective. And certain things that that are helpful to look at are how much progress have you made between your baseline year and your interim targets or your long-term targets, depending on where you are in the time frame. Are your results on track for achieving those targets? What other factors or external parties could have influenced the change between your baseline and post-implementation years? Again, you want to make sure that any change that you see is attributable to your program's activities. And does the data that you have support the narrative you established with your theory of change and your logic model? Are the activities that you're engaging in leading to the outcomes that you had hoped for? Ultimately, you'll want to document all of your processes and assumptions for the sake of transparency. And then, of course, based on those findings, you may find that it would be helpful to tweak some of the aspects of your tracking and reporting process. Maybe you find that some of your indicators aren't necessarily as relevant to your program as you thought. They're not telling you as much as you thought they would, and you might need to make some changes there. Or you may find that targets are really off base. You thought you're really sort of underperforming compared to your target. It was too ambitious. There may be opportunities for tweaks. But, of course, all adjustments should be made with caution. You don't want to just be changing targets to make your performance appear better. but you do need to be realistic. And so to wrap up, the final step in this process is, you know, going through the actual reporting and communication process. You know, use the findings from your evaluation to inform your stakeholders and to improve your program. So at this point, you know, it's important to know your audiences, their informational needs, and the best ways and time to reach them. And if you think back to my initial diagram of our local climate and action framework, we will have a whole section on engaging and reaching out to your stakeholders. So there'll be many more resources available to support that process as well. And of course, you know, we're using the process of reporting to identify program strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities, and to adjust program activities, and then to go about continuing to collect and track data to see if those adjustments are improving performance. And ultimately, you want to think about, as you're developing reports, how your program results can be used to inform budget and strategic planning processes so that your timelines coincide in a way that will benefit your program. If you know that your program is doing well, releasing a report prior to your budget planning process for the next year can help demonstrate the value of investing and garner support. So ultimately, collecting data, analyzing and reporting is a continual process that should go on for the duration of the life of your program. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of other resources in our local climate action framework that will support and are related to tracking and reporting, not just the communication resources, but information on setting goals, because ultimately you're tracking progress towards those goals, obtaining resources as you track and report and have results to show that can make the case for getting more investment in your programs and things like that. So there will be many connections in that resource once it is available. In the meantime, next slide, please. My presentation includes several appendices with links to the data sources, protocols, templates, and case studies that are going to be in this web resource. But as it's not publicly released yet, wanted to make sure that you had that information. So in the copy of the presentation you received today, you'll have links to all that information. Next slide. So in closing, I just want to mention that if you sign up online for our state and local climate and energy newsletter, you can get updates about when this new framework is released and also to see all of our other resources that Victoria mentioned. So with that, that's the end of my presentation. And on the next slide here is my contact information. If you have any questions or about our resources, feel free to ask those today at the end of the webcast or to contact me. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Emma. We're very excited about the Local Climate Action Framework at EPA, and so we hope you'll get on our newsletter, look at our website, go to the links that Emma mentioned that will be in the presentation, and keep on top of it for when it's released, and we'd love to get your feedback on it as well. Next, we're going to do another poll question to set the stage for our next speaker, and Lauren is going to give that.
Thank you, here's the poll question. If you could please evaluate our track and report framework key steps based on your experience. So here are the answers for your selection. All key steps are captured. One or more steps should be renamed. One or more key steps are unfamiliar to me. The order of the steps needs to be adjusted, or one or more steps should be removed. If you could please answer, we'll give you a few seconds to do that. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and launch the results. So it looks like we're on the right track. 76% said all key steps are captured. 17% said one or more key steps are unfamiliar. And 4% one or more steps should be renamed. If you would like to, and at the end of the webinar, we're going to have some optional feedback. For any of those who selected anything other than all key steps are captured, feel free to provide your feedback and what you think of the framework. Back to you, Victoria.
Thanks, Lauren, and thanks for everyone answering those poll questions.